Blog Talk Radio.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no
Chris.
Family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency
attacking.
And the rule of law will be the touchstone.
You got a business
of this president.
That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice because the time for choosing is
Missouri
drawing near.
Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
Hey, Rich, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Kevin.
Well, good. I'm glad that you could come in and join me on this all this election week show. As a lot of stuff happened on Tuesday, a lot of stuff that I believe that we tend to feel wasn't necessarily in the best interest of the nation.
Exactly. It seems like a lot of stuff stayed the same.
Yeah, or got worse.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did have some patriots or some folks that was reelected in the state of Missouri. Paul Kirkman made it back in again. That tends to do a good job in the House. So it wasn't all for naught. I came a little short in my race. I ended up not getting elected to the county council, which you had made the point that. I might not be sorry for that.
Yeah, that's exactly. You put up a real good fight. I got to hand it to you. And the area that you ran was heavily, heavily Democratic, and you're going up against a guy that's been there forever and is really entrenched. And you know, to get within, what was it, about 6 points?
Yeah, it was less than six. It was probably 5.5, somewhere in that range, right around 6 points. If I would have got six points more, then I would have been victorious, but I didn't. So
now you got time to do this kind of thing.
Yeah,
there you go.
Now we got to try to make a difference in different ways. So that's one of the things that we're going to do. Any major surprises for you on election eve?
I don't think locally there was a lot. I think I was shocked to see that Alan West in Florida got defeated. Well, he's fighting it, but
yeah.
It was a real close race. But it's amazing that somebody of his character and standing was knocked off. I just he can move to Missouri anytime he wants.
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the whole thing with him. Did they or did they not redistrict Florida?
Yeah, after the 2010
right.
Census, they did a lot of redistricting.
And Republicans, I think, had a big part of that redistricting process in Florida, and they did not give him a favorable district.
No. Well, he's one of the guys that came up with the Tea Party movement, and, you know, we've talked about this before. The establishment Republican Party doesn't like that. They, and any chance they got, you know, they tried to redistrict some of those people to make it tougher on them. And it's sad to see that happen. But yeah, you're right. It's that happened across the country. There's quite a few states where that happened.
Yeah. And it's well, actually here in Missouri, if you look at Jim Lemke,
yep.
and he was redistricted, and Jim, you know, had he been in his prior district, I think would have cakewalked in.
You know, but even his first election, though, what did he say? He won by 7 votes or 70 votes. It was.
I didn't know it was that
close. It was one vote a precinct.
Wow.
Because he talked about that when he was talking about how important it is to have a strong ground game when you're running a campaign like that. And he said that was one voter per precinct that put him over the top in his first go around.
Wow.
So
yeah, I had no idea it was that close.
But again, Jim's in a pretty heavily Democrat area too, but Jim's such a character guy that it's just sad to see somebody like that go down.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sure he'll find something to
I'm sure he
stay
will.
Involved. He's too good to go away.
And Missouri will miss him too.
Absolutely.
In that Senate. I know that I feel like we will for sure. In the 104th district, Kathy Conway got reelected. I think overall that's a good thing. And then we've got, of course, Paul Kirkman won with 57%, almost 58%. Now, there were a couple of extremely close races, extremely close in Jefferson County, and that was in District 111, and that was Derek Good and Michael Frame. That was about a 1.5 point difference in that race, as Michael Frame defeated Derek Good in a close one, and 50.7 to 49.3. Then the other one, there's a few of them. Jeff Arordo won, you know, by 7, almost 8 over Dan Smith. That was a battle. Man, I'll tell you what, that had the nastiest commercials locally of any race, I believe.
You know, I can't say that I heard any of them or saw them.
On TV, it was
really?
They were horrible.
I must not watch the right channels to see them.
Jeff Rorta had one that made me cringe every time it came on with about Dan Smith. It was like, holy parents, protect your children from Dan Smith. They had them behind bars and all kinds of other stuff, and it got into some other claims, and it's like, holy moly!
Wow.
Now Becky Ruth, she lost a very close race by 17. It was a little more than that. I think it was 83 votes. It looks like, but 50.3% to 49.7. And that's out of 15,000, almost 15,500 votes. And that's for state rep in 114. I think the McKinnon name probably was just a little too much to overcome in that one, too. There's another thing I want to throw out there. After working the polls around Elaine Gannon and some of her crew, I really thought that she would win. And she did. It was a close race. She won by almost 2 points, but I felt wholeheartedly that she would come out victorious in that.
And what was that race for?
That was for state rep in 115.
Okay.
She was running against Rich McCain.
Okay.
And Elaine Gannon has just, you know, she's been a teacher at DeSoto High School for quite a while, and you know, she's retired from that, and I've never seen anybody get so many hugs, you know, at the polls in one day in my life. And I knew if somebody on the Republican side was gonna, the good thing with Elaine is she didn't have the heart of the city of DeSoto.
Mm-hmm.
She had the outline, you know, the outskirts of it, and the city of DeSoto, I could tell a marked difference whenever I went from Hillsboro to the heart of the city of DeSoto. Whenever I was working the polls, big difference. So, you could definitely tell you were in a Democratic, a heavy Democratic region. So, I was. It wasn't anything too brutal. One kid that I had working for me, though, he's holding a sign, and some lady flicked a cigarette, hit him in the leg. It's not
old friend of yours or something.
So it's
amazing how people just,
they get a little ignorant sometimes.
Yeah, they do. Just for wanting to express your you know, freedom to do so, they're going to pull something like that.
Now speaking of cigarettes, I really feel there was a ballot initiative on this ballot that dealt with cigarettes. It was Prop B,
right?
The cigarette tax.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe, after doing some research on it and everything else, I believe that this proposition was put forth to help encourage a Democratic turnout in some of these depressed areas. I seriously do. Because if you look at it, show me a brighter tomorrow, I think was the name of the main people that gathered the signatures,
mm-hmm.
and I will kick up their side a little bit later, but also heavily pushed by Show Me Progress, and these have nice affiliations on their front page with their links, you know, to like One of the blogs was Angry Black Bitch. And, I mean, you know, any number of fine quality establishment groups.
Yeah.
So that's but here's my thought on that too, Rich. And we actually, Greg was the first one to mention it. He goes, you know, Kevin, I'm thinking you're going to get hurt by Prop B, because he was working Athena School, and they started after posing that, he started asking some people as they were leaving,
mm-hmm.
Hey, what motivated you to come out today and vote? And most of them said they didn't want their smokes to go up.
Heck with the president. I'm
serious.
You've
got the Democrats who I mean, you know, you could argue that they're coming out against, I mean, they might be coming out for Jay Nixon. I don't even think that was enough to get of an incentive to get some of the folks out. But Barack Obama lost big time in mm-hmm. Jefferson County. He wasn't heavily backed. And even the secretary at work, she's not politically minded at all. And she said, man, I made sure I got out and voted because of Prop B. I didn't want them raising my cigarettes.
And I got to tell you, that was probably one of the farthest ones off my radar of anything on the ballot. So.
And the whole thing is, too, whenever you look at it, what did it lose? It lost by 1.5 points.
It was really close, yeah.
In the state.
Yeah.
In Jefferson County, it lost by 15. So, you know, that's an indicator, too, that you had a lot of influence on the turnout. And quite frankly, I'm not trying to as much use it for an excuse to say that I would have gotten an extra 6 points to be victorious here. But whenever you look at Becky Ruth,
mm-hmm.
whenever you look at some of these others that were so darn close,
might have made a difference.
I believe that it made. I honestly believe that it very well probably did make a difference.
Yeah,
I really do. And you know, as far as the Democrats go, in that particular case, it was a win-win for them, because if they don't generate the extra turnout and it happens to pass, guess what? They got a whole new bureaucracy. They got a whole new, you know, at minimum of $285 million coming into the coffers.
Nice little
to play
chest.
With. Absolutely. Yep. So either way, they win-win.
Yeah.
So I'm not, and it's just funny because as it was labeled, and whenever I was doing a little research on it, whenever they were pushing and promoting it, they piggybacked it off of Prop B. You know, last time, you know, we fought hard for the puppies and everything else. This time, we're fighting hard for humans. And it just went down the whole spiel, and I'm telling you, it just dripped with that whole ideology. So
interesting, yeah.
It was. I believe if they truly ran and broke down all the demos, I think it probably made a difference in several of these races.
It did, yeah. Yep.
Especially the ones that were extremely close. Lyndon East and Ken Horton was really close. You know, that was almost a point apart, but. The big, one of the big upsets, I think, it's not that I didn't think that he could win. It's just, you know, he was, Steve Farmer was
Absolutely.
Going against somebody that was entrenched.
Yeah, I think 15 years at that job.
Right. So Steve Farmer defeated Bruce King. And, you know, that was by about a point and a half. And that was a pretty big victory.
Yeah, yeah.
So kudos to Steve.
I think he'll do good. He's a very conscientious guy. And his motives are right, and you know, politically, I think he's. I don't think this is so much a political job as it is an administrative job. But even so, you know, he brings a lot to the table. I'm glad that he made it.
What about George Engelbach defeating Timothy Meadows in the 4th district?
I voted for Tim Meadows. Sorry,
now, would you say that was
surprising.
You were surprised on that?
I didn't see much of George's campaigning. I saw a couple signs and appeared to be some hand done signs, and I just didn't hear much about it. And
again, great name recognition.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's been on every board, I think, in the county. Seems like it, doesn't it?
He still is. He's going to have his hands full. With his farming and everything that he's doing
right.
in politics. So,
and Renee Reuter, she had a fairly easy victory
yep.
over Cheryl Herman. of about 7, almost 8%. So that's pretty much the rundown on the local politics. As far as everything else goes, I had this. I guess we all had a little bit of just a tingling of, I don't know if you'd call it fear, but anxiety on the whole presidential election front.
It's just so hard for an incumbent to lose. It's just, it doesn't happen often, and it's just, it's a little scary to me that over half of this country had enough faith in him to reelect him.
It's extremely scary.
You look at the economy, you look at foreign policy, you look at immigration, you know, all this stuff. Nothing is working right. Nothing is working right. And they put him back in. It's just that I was really depressed when I went to bed. Didn't sleep well Tuesday night. Got up and I just had a sneaking suspicion of what had happened. And
right.
I was really shocked it went as far as it was not as close as it was. But, you know, I saw an interesting tidbit today. Every state that had voter ID, Romney won. So
go figure, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
A little difference in philosophies, too.
Yeah, you know, I'd had such high hopes that, you know, Romney was not my guy, but I'm sorry, he's head and shoulders better than Barack Obama, in my opinion. And I had hoped that we might get the Senate back so we could do something there. And already just 2 days after the results are in, you're hearing some pretty scary things. The Senate's talking about changing the rules to get rid of the filibuster.
Imagine that.
Yeah, you know, then this is the same group of senators, basically, that back in, what was it, 2004, 2006, when the Republicans talked about doing that, it was absolutely the end of the world.
It was a nuclear option,
wasn't
it?
It was the end of the republic.
Yes.
The country was done, and oh my God, they can't do this.
Right.
And now here we are, and they're wanting to do it. It's just really disheartening.
The thing that I'm more concerned about with anything, and that is people getting the wrong message from this loss on the Republican side. I think that it's going to be interpreted in many ways the wrong way, and the party may even go further in the wrong direction by the time this is all said and done. I think there's going to be a huge outreach to try to possibly an amnesty deal along with some other things. I think that there's going to be a huge outreach in a lot of these areas, and I believe that it's the wrong message.
The Republican, Mitt Romney, lost because he was not a strong enough real conservative. He sounded good on the stump at the end.
But he did have a track record,
yeah.
and that, you know, that hurt.
Yeah, he did, exactly. Oh. And you know, people were saying, you look at what he's saying now, but look what he did then. Well, it's a little different when you're the governor of the state, and I was willing to give him the benefit
right.
of the doubt.
As
know.
Was I.
Once he was selected as the candidate, I'm sorry, he was way better than Barack Obama. And, you know, you look at some of the things that they've already talked about, and we got to double down as far as I'm concerned. We had to hit hard and fight in the House. They better not compromise. I heard some disturbing things coming out of John Boehner's mouth. John Boehner, I don't know what he's doing, but maybe they should put Paul Ryan in as the Speaker of the House, because I have no faith in John Boehner standing up to do anything. You know, you talk about immigration compromise, Bush tax cuts, you know, tax increases. They can't do it. And I tell you what, if they do it in 4 years, if we still have an election, it's going to be, you might be looking at a third party at that point.
It's the wrong message.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
I'm afraid that they're going to take this. They're going to split it apart. They're going to be fed from the progressive side of the Republican Party, this different ideology that they need to go off in these other directions. And what we don't need is, you know, a very liberal theology and liberal light. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the one thing that's going to bury him. You know, I thought this was a pretty in-depth statement by John Boehner.
If ands and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas.
Now, how could you argue with that, Rich?
How deep, yeah.
I'm telling you, that's what we pay him for. But no, Boehner is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
Oh yeah,
he needs to be replaced as speaker. I mean, really, he's not the man that is needed at this point in time of history. He's just more of the same. It's more along the McCain mindset. It's more along the like we said. And secondly, the man just cries too damn much to have in a leadership position. I mean, I don't mind, you know, a sentimental thing. I mean, and especially when he's talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, if he's shedding a tear or two and he's talking about some, you know, handicapped child that came up to him and had this challenge or that challenge, but no, he's talking about how he started off sweeping and
yeah.
how he's been, you know, that kind of, it hit me wrong.
You're proud of that. It don't make you cry.
If it does, then, you know.
Maybe you don't have the intestinal fortitude to do that job. Sorry.
I don't think so. But is there anything else? You know, here's one story that I just saw today, and it's from the Duffel blog. And I don't know if you've ever heard of DuffelBlog.com.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I'm not real familiar with it.
It looks like, I mean, you know, and again, I don't know if this is, you know, how, it's not like I can say that this is absolute, but they had an article on there today that talked about military absentee ballots being delivered one day late, and it would have swung the election.
Oh, you know, I did see
that. Romney.
Yep.
Now, if what they're saying is accurate, we got some major problems beyond any shadow of a doubt.
That was the article where they talked about all the missteps that those ballots took before they got to where they needed to be one day late.
Right.
Even though they were voted eight months prior is when they told them they needed to have them so that this wouldn't happen. And then they got shipped to Afghanistan. They got shipped somewhere else. They had to wait 30 days for the plane to fly, and it was incredible when I read it.
Just in this one segment, it says tracking invoices show the ballots sat in a warehouse for a month, just sitting. Then they were accidentally labeled as ammunition and shipped to Afghanistan. At Camp Dwyer, Marine Sergeant John Davis.
Well, actually, that was probably labeled correctly.
And was surprised at the content.
Yeah, ammunition. That was probably for Obama.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't a kid.
But yeah, that's it's just incredible that. And I'm sorry, our military, are they that screwed up? I mean, I don't think so.
I'm gonna tell you what, these guys. If we make sure that anybody votes, I mean, here we are making them remove boxes off of applications for ballots that deem that you are or that claim that you are a legal citizen.
Yeah.
Because it's going to cause confusion. But we can't get our military personnel that's fighting for the country a damn ballot. What a disgrace. And what's going on with Florida? Florida still can't get votes right?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, I don't get that
what
at all.
What a circus. I mean, there's no doubt whatsoever. I'm sorry for anybody that lives in Florida or anything else, but that is one messed up state. And you could tell that by nothing else, by some of the news that comes out of that state. If you want to look at some of the wackiest news of the week, two-thirds of it comes out of Florida.
What was it ever decided? I still hadn't heard. Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter because it wouldn't make a difference, not like in 2004. But, that's amazing.
There was a little note on here from Dave Court that says that they were still voting at 2:30 a.m. Now, again, you know, there's criminal activity. I'm sorry, but there's criminal activity all over the place down there whenever it comes to polling stations, and they need to – the only way that we're going to stop this crap, start throwing some people behind bars.
Yeah, they got to take it serious. I mean, it's not this is a big deal, and a lot of livelihoods are going to be changed because of the outcome of this election. And it's probably the case of every election, but you know, I've already seen where companies are laying people off
absolutely.
The day after the election.
Right.
You know, and I can't help but think because I saw it in 2008 in the lead up to the election. And, you know, what I do for a living is a lot of manufacturing and call on businesses.
Right.
And people were holding back in 2008 right. because they didn't know how things were going to go. And they didn't want to go out on a limb and build a new facility or invest in some equipment because they were afraid of what could happen at the election. Because they knew, you know, they knew what was going to go on. And I think it was the same way this time. I think a lot of businesses with the health insurance deal, they still held out hope that Obamacare could be gotten rid of and that we would have some semblance of order and some sanity in taxes and regulation, but that's obviously not going to happen now. So, you know, this next 3-4 months could be a real telling time frame as to what's going to happen. You know, was the stock market down 400 points today?
Well, it's down overall in the last 2 days, 450
mm-hmm.
points. And if you look at whenever after the election in 2008, it dropped 500 points in one day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I liked how they were trying to spin it in the first couple of hours of that drop after the election. It was only until the end of the day after it had dropped at some 316 points, mm-hmm. something around there, that they were actually saying, is Obama the cause for the stock market drop? You know, and it's like,
you think?
It's pretty bad. And Dave's got another note on here saying that Boeing announces layoffs to pre-2010 labor levels. You know, and here's the whole thing, too. And you know, the folks that are talking about Obama being so good for unions, as far as labor unions, I mean, you know, tell that to the union coal miners. Tell that to the 100 different coal-fired power plants that many of them had union workers in that's been shuttered. You know, we could go on and on and on. Tell them to the construction industry that suffered dramatically, probably worse than just about any other industry. Tell that to the workers at Chrysler who watched their jobs after tax dollars came in there and bailed them out, watched their jobs go to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, now, those were all UAW people, and yet, you know, there they are.
It was vicious,
yeah,
you know?
I'm sure it was. If you'd like to call in, please feel free to call in at 347-677-1835. You can give us your thoughts on the election. Anything else at this point? We have open line Thursday. And I don't know if Dave's wanting to chime in here or not. Dave, you got anything for us?
I was just listening to you talking about the spin for the stock market drop. CBS and NBC both tonight spun that as the drop and the layoffs. They were also talking about the layoffs. Those are both being caused by the private sector's concern about the gridlock, about the Republican House of Representatives and the gridlock that's going to cause.
Oh, that's unbelievable, Dave.
Yep.
telling you, they have absolutely – they don't even know what the word shame is.
Well, and that's – you know, it's going to start right away. It's going to start right away, and I blogged today myself. I blogged myself today, and then I'm going to step out of the studio here and get on with some other stuff. But I blogged myself today that, you know, the best thing that we can do is stand back and let the thing go. I mean, we need to not be obstructionists. We need to let this administration have whatever it is they need. The majority of American people have indicated to us that they want this kind of society, that this is the economy they want, and the last thing that anybody needs is for 4 years from now us to be blamable again. This thing is going to crumble. It's going to crash and burn, and we cannot afford to be the ones to blame for it because we were obstructionists to him getting what he needed to get done.
You know, I understand what you're saying. The only thing that concerns me on that, and I'm not sure that we haven't reached the saturation point as we speak, and that is the welfare rolls being a third higher than what they were. They've gone up some 32-33%. We got, what, 15, 16 million more on food stamps. We've got all these government programs that have grown so exponentially. And then, you know, I'm sorry, but you combine that with the fact that whenever times really get harder, even yet, people look to government for solutions and they look to government for help. And I don't know. I mean, you know, I really we may have crossed the tipping point.
Yeah, what do you do?
We have. That's the only reason that I would personally say to back off. That's the only reason why I would pick the philosophy that I chose today, is because I believe we passed the tipping point. And you know, you've got two kinds of kids. You've got a kid, and you can say to the kid, "Hey, look, I'm frying an egg on here. I'm boiling water on here. Hold your hand 6 inches above this thing and feel how hot it is. Now, don't put your hand on there. We've tried that. We've been trying that for 10 years." You know, then you've got another kid who's just got to put his damn hand on it. I mean, he's just got to do it. And we've reached that point. We've reached that point where there's no solution now, but to let this kid put his hand on that burner and come away with a couple of blisters. And I mean, I don't see another way to do it.
I'm not saying that you don't have a solid argument, because you do. That makes sense. Unfortunately, applying logic to an illogical situation, I don't know if it.
You know, I half agree there, because I've thought for quite some time, probably close to 2 years, that we've gone past the tipping point, and that it's not really going to be corrected until there is a collapse and everybody can see what works and what doesn't work, and we can get on with it. But I tell you what, that's a scary situation.
Oh, it's horrifying.
To think about it, but I really do. I don't think that with the way that our young people today, we have about a generation of people that just don't understand how the economy works, how this country was founded and what it's based on, and that we're about individual prosperity and individual opportunity and not the collective. I'm so tired of this collective stuff. You know, if I want to work hard and be successful, that's on me. But if you don't want to, don't expect me to pick you up and, you know, you get in a pickle, maybe you get a little help, but not to carry half the country, that's not going to work. And I agree. I think that let's get it over with.
I mean, you want to know how close we are to the tipping point, Kevin. When people were asked on exit polls what was the most important issue for you, not surprisingly, 59% of the people said the economy. Of that majority that said the economy was the most important issue to them, 47% of them voted for Obama anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they meant, Dave, was their economy.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is what I mean about the tipping point. You know, the condition of the economy, they said at exit polls, was not good. 45%, or the majority of people asked, given four choices, said the condition of the economy was not good. Of that 45%, 55% voted for Obama anyway.
You know, somebody had mentioned to me the other day, and I know it would never fly because we can't even get boxes on the ballot applications that say you are. But honestly, and that guy had put forth that really, if you're receiving any kind of government assistance, you shouldn't be qualified to vote. And you know, I could honestly, it does. You know, there is some validation to that.
And there's, I mean, people have their rights taken away every day for certain things. You know, if you're a convicted felon, no matter what it's for, you can never own a handgun. You can never own a gun of any kind.
In some states, you can never vote.
Right. You can't vote. Yeah. Yep.
But an illegal immigrant can.
That's right. And they'll fight to the death to protect their right to
Absolutely.
Vote, even though they're not a citizen.
Absolutely.
And that's the sad thing. That's things are so twisted.
Almost like, you know, if you want a voice, you know, then give up the check. I don't know what else to do. I mean, they ought to be automatic that they're restricted from all casinos, that everything else. I mean, if you're receiving assistance, your name goes on the blacklist. Sorry,
There's a bill coming up in front of the Senate. Before the end of this term, to expand – well, in fact, it's in the agriculture bill, which they're bringing back up again before the expiration of the term, to expand food stamps to fast food restaurants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that doesn't
–
that's not surprising at all.
Right.
I mean, and then here's the whole thing, though, Dave. I mean, once everybody's on that, then they're going to start taking away – the things that they don't want people to consume. And that's the whole kick.
Right.
And that's the one thing we can't ever forget, is that really, ultimately, all of this is about control. Now, the other part of that equation is once this whole thing collapses, are we going to lose our national sovereignty, whatever it is that we have left? Because the monetary, we're so tied in with the euro and everything else, you know, the monetary geniuses are going to get together, and they're, you know, is this not time that they will take to implement a world currency? I mean,
they'll try, so, in my mind, Kevin, they'll try, but that's
collapse.
Yeah. I say that our mission now as patriots is to continue to educate, to continue to hold out the vision of America, so that when the thing fails, and we've stood back and let it, so that we could take no blame, everybody knows that they can come back. Lisa and I talked last night about, I was just sitting back here wondering what can I do now, and I don't know if I can do this. I've got no money, but we need to get a group of people together who write children's books like the kids' Bible stories you read that talk about George Washington and Valley Forge and what America is about, and people heading out west to strike out on their own and make this country great, and people who farmed their way out of the Depression.
Right. You know, here's the other thing, Dave, and that's a great idea. It honestly is. It'll be deemed propaganda from the other side, that's for sure, but
I mean, read the Laura Ingalls Wilder books, for goodness sake.
We are reaping what's been planted and I mean, what's been sown. We're reaping it. So it's a valid point. So I'm just it's going to be a rough road. I was talking to the secretary at work today, and you just look at it. I mean, if they don't curtail that 3.8% sales tax on homes, that's going to kick in January. You're already looking at a decimate. I mean, people have already lost their equity in their home, those that have managed to even keep it close to above water, and who can afford another 3.8% on the sale of their home? So you're gonna decimate an already down market. You've got so many things that we have that are built in. I think that the goal of collapsing this economy is going to be achieved quite easily, and that's the only way I can look at it anymore. It's almost got to be a goal.
Oh, it is a goal. Yeah,
because nothing else they do makes sense.
It's not a goal. I think it's not a goal of the majority of American people who really think they're doing a good thing. They really think they're doing a good thing for these people that don't have any health insurance. They really think they're doing a good thing for these people who don't have a job, who don't have any food. I mean, the majority of these voters aren't—they're not socialist anarchists who want the thing to collapse. They're people who think that it's Christian, for Christ's sake, to go do this stuff.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, the people leading this charge have a goal of collapsing the economy.
And whenever you look at it, that 3.8% is going to fund, supposedly getting set aside to fund Obamacare. So whenever you look at all the other taxes that's coming out of that, I mean, the Wall Street Journal did, or wait a minute, it wasn't the Wall Street Journal. Who was that? One of the organizations did a study the other day on a family making $70,000.
Wall Street Journal, you're right. Yeah.
Was it the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah.
And they said that the taxes is going to go up $4,400 on them next year. Now, if you look at that's almost $400 a month. That's a car payment.
That's right.
You want to boost it? Do you want to just hand over another $400 a month to the government that you don't already have? Or do you, I mean, at least put a car in their driveway? I mean, that's how you get the economy going, and not the government stripping, even robbing us further.
Well, you know, it's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people, I think, when these taxes slowly kick in and they don't really realize what's going on until they just have less and less money and they can't figure out what happened to it.
And not only that, I mean, not only will their tax bill be higher, and it will be higher, I don't care what socioeconomic class you're in, your tax bill's going up.
Absolutely.
Not only will their direct tax bill be higher, but these increases in food prices are taxes on small businesses, increases in your dry cleaning bill, increases in your what it costs to get your car fixed. I mean, that's all a tax on the small business guy. So
absolutely,
energy too.
Yeah.
And whenever you look at it, you know what's crazy is those don't factor in on the inflation statistics. How do you not count energy and food on inflationary statistics?
Right.
Those are necessities.
That gets in the way of the propaganda, though.
Right. I mean, the inflation would be sky high right now if we counted food and energy. It's insane. So it's not – we're going to see, Dave. I honestly believe that here's the – I mean, what are the Republicans going to do? Now, I think that you may have been on here earlier. Are they going to dissect this election and deduce that they need to become more liberal? Do you feel like the establishment's going to go in that direction?
No, I don't. I think the establishment is going to decide that they need to become more conservative. I think that they're going to decide that they need to pretty much run the White House out of the Vatican.
Well, I am I'm hearing sniffs, a whole lot of little snippets that tend to be concerned about, you know, expanding the immigration policy, about doing a lot of these other things that I think is
Big mistake.
It's going to be a big mistake.
And I think that's going to be, you know, the Republican Party right now, Kevin, is actually two parties.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It's almost like the county or the district that I, you know, you look at a lot of these different geographical areas that have like a city that's surrounded by a whole bunch of farmland, say Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And
you do.
I mean, you essentially are two different areas. So I could see where you're coming
from. Well, no, I mean, it's two different parties. It is, you have the people in the party who were the Ron Paul people, who were the Mitt Romney people, who are saying, for goodness sake, get away from the theology, get away from the morality, come back over here, and let's talk about economy and stuff like that. Let's talk about the safety net. Let's talk about the safety net. Let's talk about the need to maintain some sobriety in this thing while we're cutting down some. And then you've got the other group, the Michelle Bachans, the Rick Santorums, who say, you know, the roots, the only way this party survives is to get God back in the system, to make America godly again. And as long as you have two different parties within the Republican Party, and Kevin, you know what I think it is. I think that party is the old libertarians who spent years and years and years and are so disillusioned by the fact that they haven't been able to do anything in 35 years now that they've decided they're going to take over the Republican Party they can have the name.
I can't argue with that. I really can't. Rich, what do you?
Yeah, I agree. It's like a split personality, you know. You know, you have the libertarian vent, the Ron Paul faction, who really just needs to be their own party, I do believe. They won't ever be happy in the Republican Party. We saw that in the results of this last election.
Yeah.
And they, you know, there was infighting in the caucuses that I was in, and it was like a battle of two groups.
And they were both in the wrong.
Yeah, they were both in the wrong.
I have to say that, you know.
Yeah, the Republican Party has got to find its roots and get back on track, because it doesn't. I don't think it'll have another chance if they don't get it straightened out. And going more moderate or liberal is not the way to go. You know, if you look at where the Democrat Party is today compared to where it was in 1960 and where the Republican Party is, I'm sorry, but we've gone so far to the left. That's why all these people say, well, you're a right-wing lunatic. You know, you're way off to the right in the weeds. Well, you're really not. You're back about 40 years is where we're at, and where the political party stood. And if you've seen as we've moved to the left, that's when a major decline in the country has happened. And, you know, they got to get their act together real quick.
Well, you guys, I mean, let's look at, let's say that things go south as we believe they will, and we allow it to. And I know, Dave, I totally understand what you're saying. Here's my fear. If you look at California right now as a microcosm, I mean, they've got a supermajority now in all bodies of legislation or all bodies of the government now in California. They got a supermajority. Even if you got a conservative governor in there, which ain't going to happen, they couldn't stop him. I mean, he couldn't do anything with it. So, again, the more misery that is inflicted upon the people, the more they turn to government for solutions. It never fails. You look at Detroit, you look at other areas, it's just, I think it's human nature, and I think it's time-tested. I don't know a way around it. I really don't.
I don't see it either, Kevin. I don't see it. California is kind of a microcosm of where the rest of the country is going. They're ahead
absolutely
of us.
They're ahead of us.
They're going down the tubes, and I anticipate them trying to get a bailout from the federal government to save their state. Sorry, I wouldn't support that at all. You did it the way you wanted to do it. Now you suffer the consequences. But you know, don't take everything else down with you.
Then what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, you look at Greece. I mean, they are essentially our Greece. Illinois is another one that's just spent recklessly. These guys have got to fix their own mess. You can't come in with a bailout. You're going to also see an outcry because, personally, there was little moments where it was brought up in the past, but you're going to see an effort to bail out the newspapers and some of the media organizations that have been toeing the line for this administration, and because the people have no, most of the people have no faith in the accuracy of what they're hearing. So they're going to fund it. They're going to continue to fund it. PBS is going to be the furthest thing from our problems after they get done super funding all of these other different affiliations of propaganda. I mean, it's disgusting. I just don't I don't know, man. I'll tell you what, we've quite frankly, they have laid the groundwork for decades. They are getting close, if they're not already there, to their goals. And, you know, we've been sleeping at the wheel. We've been outsmarted. I hate to say it. It's kind of like it's fourth and long.
It's been going on for over 100 years now.
Yeah, and it's been a patient approach, but it is getting them, you know, instead of going just straight out the revolutionary route, you know, they went this route, and it's been a long time coming, but they're starting to reap it. And I'm quite frankly at a loss at how you can really put the brakes on this thing.
You'd have to re-educate a whole generation of people who have been taught that government is the answer.
Yeah, but you're going to be telling them things that human nature doesn't want to hear.
Right. Oh yeah.
And that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. I mean, you're trying to tell the younger generation about hard work. You're trying to tell them about all the different, about saving, about all this other stuff that needs to be done in a healthy economy. And what would they rather have? I mean, would they rather go trick or treating, or would they rather, you know, work for their candy? I mean, we're at a dangerous, we're beyond a dangerous point. I just don't know quite how we're gonna reach it, Dave. I can't say that your philosophy wouldn't be the best at this point, but I just don't know how we, you know, that this country, if it becomes Detroit, I don't know how we recover. I really don't. I don't know how we bounce back.
Well, I mean, it's doable, You know, the thing that is really, really scary about it is I believe this was our – I don't believe this was our last chance to do it, but I believe this was our last chance to do it with minimal pain. It is going to hurt. It's going to hurt a whole lot if this thing goes on 4 more years before people realize that you know, before the people who are soaking up the goodies realize what everybody already knows. The math doesn't work. The history doesn't work. The demonstrations going on around the world right now don't work. It doesn't work. And when they figure that out and try to reset, it's going to be immensely painful 3 more years down the road.
Yes, it will. I agree. The sooner that we could have got that ball rolling, the less painful it would have been. And it's multiplying every single day in a major way. I don't. Have you got anything coming up on your program, Dave? Anything scheduled for next Monday?
Tomorrow night we are going to continue to talk about some of these exit polls and what they show about the parties and the direction that we're going. Monday night we are going to start with a series of fair tax programs.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what? What we've got to do here, what the right, I don't know if the Republicans or the Libertarian, I'm a Libertarian,
right.
I don't know who has to do it, but some party has to, you know, the thing that got Obama where he is now is health care. Somebody, we need to find that single issue that we can coalesce people around. Like he did around healthcare, and I don't know if it's going to be fair taxation. I don't know, you know, fair taxation is as we've already discussed several times in the past, something that we could easily sell to progressives if we package it right. I mean, and I don't mean package it right as in we got to trick anybody. It's a progressive tax. I mean, package it right in that we've got to educate people properly as to what exactly it does for them.
I am. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It might be any number of things. It might be some state's rights amendment, or it might be a constitutional convention. It might be time to rally people around a constitutional convention.
But we're going to have a lot, even on the conservative side, that are scared to death of that idea with the mindset of the general public right now.
What could it hurt now? I mean, 3 years ago, I might let you have that argument. But what the hell can it hurt now? The Constitution is gone. We will never see it again. We are in a post-Constitution era, and we'll never get it back.
Unfortunately, with the way that the judicial body has been able to run away with everything, there is no balance of power.
Right.
17th Amendment did its fair share of damage. We've got a lot of different situations that have arisen, and whether it's in the Constitution or not. Well, you look at Arizona's law. Their law with dealing with illegal immigrants. I mean, they took a lot of the wording directly out of the Constitution. They copied it out of the Constitution, and that's what's being legally challenged.
That's right.
I mean, it's insane. Really, what we are dealing with is whether if you've got a law and you're not adhering to it, then what is the law?
Yeah, and you've got a Supreme Court now headed by a George Bush conservative, quote-unquote, in the Chief Justice position, who not only allows them to destroy the Constitution, but cheers them on. And when they don't get the wording right to do it, helps them out.
Yeah, that's.
But if you think it's bad now, wait till we get two or three more Obama appointees on that court and Katie bar the door.
Well, yeah, but that's not as bad as it really sounds, because the justices that are going to croak here in the next 4 years are already liberal anyway.
Well, Scalia is getting up there.
Scalia is one of the older ones. Unless he does actually breathe his last breath at his desk, he's not going to quit while Obama's in the White House.
No, I have a feeling that he will be he'll be fed intravenously and everything else as long as he takes it. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've got a If he's on every kind of life support there is, I don't think he'll be going out until they
they'll send him they'll send him to a taxidermist and park him in that chair till 2016.
Be like Stephen King. No, Stephen Hawking.
I got to go, Kevin. Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey,
I'd love to come along and be with you, man.
All righty, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you much.
I do want to say, though, before I take off, that last night after our show, we had three more great contributions to Secret Santa. We're getting very close to our goal now. We don't mind now, folks, if we go over our goal. Kevin will talk to you here before the show's over about how to give to Secret Santa. It's a great program. And you know, we don't need much. We need, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 from people to get us through this program and get us onto our goal. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Oh, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. And that Secret Santa deal is, I mean, folks, if you're not fully informed, go by MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the Secret Santa tab. It's an outstanding program. What it's set up to do is it's set up to the members of the executive committee goes into different stores, say a Walmart on Christmas Eve. They find out who has not picked up their layaway items. They pay it off, and they have the store call the folks and tell them to come pick it up. And that's a neat idea. That, to me, that is the American way. I mean, of actually helping people. I mean, you're not asking for extra. You're not shouting it out. I mean, the reason why it's even being shared is to help encourage people to give to the cause. I mean, if it really wasn't even for that, we wouldn't be trumpeting it. But I think it's one of the neatest programs that I've seen. And whether it's $5, $10, whatever the gift amount, we certainly appreciate it. And families that may not, especially in this economy, and that's another thing to remember too, folks. Whenever we don't step up to the plate as conservatives, whenever we don't step up to the plate and take care of people, and whenever they're having a hard time, it gives liberals firepower. It gives them examples that they can use of why we need government programs. So let's try to continue to be as generous as we can in trying to help people and groups outside of government interference. I mean, as long as we can do it without government assistance. You know how it is. The first thing that happens too is every time they want a tax hike or anything else, that's what California did when they just voted in their tax hike. They laid out everything that they were going to threaten to cut, and the people were so scared to death that they're going to get these cuts that they voted a tax hike upon themselves.
Blackmail.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
it's,
what it is. Yeah,
it's the same. I mean, that technique has been used for years. As far back as I can remember, you have every time that the schools wanted a new levy, every time that they wanted to pass a tax hike, what did they do? They talked about cutting the football team. They talked about cutting all these things that were really popular that was going to motivate people in a panic mode to get down there and support that tax hike.
Well, so the federal government does it too.
Absolutely, they do. You know, what do they talk about? Cutting cops, firemen. They talk about cutting all these support emergency support structures.
Right.
That's the first ones they start, and teachers. So those are all the very first ones that they always threaten. This is where we're going to have to lay off this many. So we've got to get this passed. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Hillbilly Logic on Missouri Grassroots Coalition. In studio tonight, Richard Blowers.
You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
My name is Janet Mock, and I vote.
I'm Charles, and I vote.
My name is Mara Kiesling, and I vote.
I'm Laverne Cox, and I vote.
My name is Ignacio Rivera, and I vote.
I'm Kit Yan, and I vote.
Voting while trans means that some of us are told we aren't who we say we are
because of the way we look.
Voting while trans means that some of us are gawked at by poll workers. Voting while trans means that some of us are almost always asked
to give our real name.
Real name, our real name. Voting while trans means
getting the information you need to protect your right to vote.
This election, over 25,000 transgender people could lose their right to vote.
25,000 transgender people
could lose their right to vote.
And even if you've never had a problem voting before,
check your voter registration information and make sure your name and address match your current ID.
And if you can, update your ID photo and gender marker now.
We all have a right to vote no matter who we are.
So protect your right to vote. Learn more at votingwhiletrans.org.
Those hillbilly shoes. Hey, did you catch that commercial about voting, Richard?
Yeah.
There's a classic example of the mindset that we're dealing with. Well, voting while trans, which means transgendered, and they were operating off the fear that they may also get asked their real name. You should always have to go by your legal name. And in the state of Missouri, you don't have to. You could use nicknames or whatever have you whenever you register to vote. It should be your legal name. It's just another area that is ripe for abuse. But it's also an example of the different coalition of these little groups that the Democratic Party has become. And, It's all of it's operated out of fear. I mean, they are held together off of fear.
And political correctness,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, can never offend anybody. You know, you hear the people talking about, well, I'm Latino and I vote, and I'm Asian and I vote, or whatever.
I'm American.
You're American.
And
you're
I vote.
American. That's right. That's what it should be based on. Nothing else. You know, people don't need special treatment. Everybody talks about fairness, you know, being treated fairly. And usually the people that espouse that are the first ones that want some kind of special treatment.
And quite frankly, if you want fairness, get all of the things off of all of the different applications and everything else that ask for your nationality, or that ask all the other questions, whether you're black, Hispanic, white, or Caucasian, or other, or all the rest of it. Get it off of there. As you're looking, it's a black and white document. Why do you have to color it up? I mean, it's not. If you're truly wanting a colorblind society, then why do we encourage all of the separation of these different groups? Are we not a melting pot?
We are, but they still want to keep track of the ingredients, apparently.
Oh, absolutely they
you
do.
Know. But any government, there was a change in the federal firearms purchasing, the instant background check form that you have to fill out just recently.
Did they take off the box that says, are you an illegal, or are you a legal citizen?
No, it added a box about Hispanic, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
And some, you know, I, I never got a chance to talk to the guy that had said it, but apparently there was a special, if you check that box, you got special treatment according to him.
That's Fast and Furious, Rich.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's like, why do you need to know that on a form like that? And I actually called the ATF and I asked him, I said, well, what's the deal with this? Why was this change made? And it took about 5 phone calls before I finally got a hold of somebody. And she told me that this was something that legislation passed back in 1998. And it basically required that all government agencies and all government forms have these basic questions on them regarding your race and, I guess, now ethnicity, too. And they were just lax in getting their forms up to date. And they finally got...
It's amazing all the things they've gotten up to date in the last 4 years,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's just another example. And I love how it's always, you know, there may have been similar legislation or something else that was passed back then. They always kick it back to previous terms.
Right.
Always.
Blame
just
the
like
last.
Fast and Furious. They kick that back to a program that was in place before that functioned... that at least the Mexican authorities knew about and were participating in.
And they actually had tracking devices in the weapons.
Right.
So that they could actually track the weapons.
So they act like it's the same program.
Yeah.
So they could put it off on the guy before.
Right.
And that happens all the time. So that's just another example of the lunacy that we deal with on the political correct side of things. I think the majority of people, you know, what's funny, Rich, is whenever you talk to people and you break it down to individual issues, most of the people that you meet on job sites or anywhere else think alike.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, I would say, 75-80% of the folks will agree on the majority of the issues.
Yeah, when you talk in plain language to them about
and,
it.
On that particular subject.
Right.
But whenever you put it all together and party politics comes into play, it's a totally different story.
It's like there's a white line down the road and you got some on one side and some on the other and that's it. And no matter what kind of face-to-face conversation you can have and logic thrown into the mix, it doesn't seem to change.
Well, and that's where comprehensive anything is such a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I mean, the things need to be broken down. Nobody, and the left is right whenever they say that healthcare is broken. It may not be busted, but there are little segments of it that if taken upon its own that we could address and make it better.
Make a big difference, right.
Make it better. And that's why whenever they ask people about healthcare and they have a negative perception of it, And they use that as the means to promote their comprehensive changes. You know, that's why it's intellectually dishonest, is because there is factions within it that are broken, that the doctors will say were broken, that the nurses will say, and you're married to a nurse, that my wife works in a hospital, you know, that the patients will say is broken. There's all kinds of different things, and unfortunately, a lot of it is broken because of government regulation.
Yeah, right.
That's the crazy
and
thing
then
about
they
it.
They want to come in and try to fix it.
Right. Yeah. No, they want to promote a comprehensive package of multiple thousands of pages that like Nancy said, we're still trying to figure out what's in it, and it's been passed.
Right.
And the deal is that everything should be approached on individual areas. Comprehensive sucks.
And there's always the way that they throw it back at you is if you question any portion of it, then you just don't want anybody to have health care. You
right.
want everybody to die and you're just evil and there's no middle ground anywhere in there. And which is so far from the truth, but that's how it'll be spun. And then they want to make somebody who questions what they've done, they want to make them look evil and like they just completely want to go back to the Stone Age when it comes to healthcare. And it's just so – it's infuriating when you hear those kind of arguments day in and day out.
You know, and whenever you're looking at things that the huge majority of the people agree on. And politicians say they agree on, but they get huge fat checks from the insurance industry, and somehow it never gets passed. But just like being able to cross lines and state lines and so forth on some of these to seek quotes on some of these insurance policies, if a company is registered in your state and a legal insurer in your state, then you know the whole thing is that the insurance companies like to keep those state lines. They like to keep it divided. I mean, they don't want to see it opened up. So they do fund a lot of these politicians to oppose this stuff. And the simple things like that could make a difference. Now, is it going to fix everything? Absolutely not. But you know what? You chip away at it. You chip away and you make what you can better. And then you go on from there. But comprehensive, I mean, for one thing, the hospitals. I know my wife participated in it. There's a program called FlexPay. And what it was, it's a Flex medical account, and you get money withheld from your check, just like taxes, pre-tax, so it's before anything's taken out of it. So it goes into this healthcare or this medical account that you could purchase medicine and all kinds of other things, even some things over the counter that are medically related, whether it's even eyeglasses or anything along those lines. And you have so much held out of each check. It's pre-tax dollars, so you get more bang for your buck.
Right.
That you're still, you got competitiveness in the businesses that are competing for your business, because this is just like real money. It is real money that you're spending. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So it's got so many added benefits. If you looked at expanding that instead of, which Obamacare took away a lot of the ability to do that. You know, that's a great program. It really is.
It gives people an incentive to not go to the doctor every time they're feeling a little under the weather.
And it also still helps to encourage a competitive environment for those services. Mm. Instead of how many times have you ever called a dentist or something and they may ask, you know, do you have insurance before they ever give you a quote, before anything's ever done, you know? So there's different guidelines on some of the whole process of funding for these things. And I'm just looking at it as that's a great program, and it's a shame that if it doesn't get eliminated in this process, it's going to be damaged by it. If you just took that simple program and let's just say, you know, all rich, let's say $450 a month is what you put into that program, and then you've added a $5,000 catastrophic insurance policy to that, to where anything, it never paid a dime for anything under $5,000, but everything over $5,000, a lot of these will cover 100% of. Mm-hmm. The policies are much cheaper because they're not getting nickel and dimed and everything else from people just being hypochondriacs. And the worst thing that, I mean, the one thing that everybody likes, but really it isn't a good thing, and that is $5 deductibles. Really, that's not a good idea, because you're actually encouraging people to go to the doctor every time they get a sniffle.
Exactly, yeah.
So this would, it's your own money, it's going in an account, you're going to have over $5,000 in this account to pay for medical services. So whenever you go to a doctor or something, that money could come out of that account, and whenever you reach the $5,000 plateau, then you go on insurance, and it would encourage a competitive environment amongst the private sector. And then also, you know, you would have that catastrophic insurance, and it makes a hell of a lot more sense to me than whenever you look at COBRA being $970 a month or some of these other deals. I mean, it's not that stuff. You look at that. If you don't make a claim, if you don't do anything, you get no benefit unless you use that insurance.
Right.
None.
Yep.
So that's part of the broken system. We've got to set something up different. And to me, that is the most logical thing, is to have those medical savings accounts and then have the catastrophic on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that.
It makes sense.
Makes too much sense. That's why probably it wouldn't happen.
That and that and all the dollars that these different groups and special interests are feeding the politicians to make sure it doesn't happen.
Right. Yep.
You know, but there's the other aspect of it too. What about the control factor?
Mm-hmm.
If you're controlling somebody's health, if you are their line for medical assistance, you know, they're in more of a slavitude position.
Absolutely, and it's amazing people don't see that. You know, because there's a lot of that in this Obamacare bill that. You know, because if you put all these millions of people that don't have insurance on some insurance plan, you're not going to have enough doctors, and eventually the costs are going to overrun the amount of money they have to make the thing function.
You know, it just happened to me 2 months ago. I called the doctor to get him to call me in a prescription, just maintenance medicine.
You had to go in and see him?
For blood pressure? No. He was no longer a practicing physician. Now, I'm talking about a doctor that's probably in his upper 40s, and he left his profession, or he left his whole business to go to work directly for the hospital.
Right.
And I heard on the Wall Street Journal the other day that is the fad. That's what's going on around the country in a lot of these different instances. These doctors are leaving their practices to go to work directly for the hospitals.
Hmm.
And so I don't have a family doctor.
And I wonder why. Is that because he couldn't make money dealing with all the red tape and headaches he has to go through?
I am going to get with him, and I'm going to talk to him about this because I want to know what the mindset was. But I believe that you know, a lot of these doctors that are older are going to retire. Other than to deal with the system that's coming into place and the cuts that they're going to incur. The ones that are too young to retire are going to look for alternative methods. And this is an alternative method. I mean, look, he's reducing his liabilities dramatically, and he's probably going to increase his profits because he's now working for a paycheck.
Doesn't have staff to worry about, any of that. You know,
no
stuff either. So,
the liability. I'm sure that the insurance policy is different than what it was when he's running his own practice.
Yeah.
Along with everything else. So all that stuff factors in. The bottom line is that now my family is without. We have no family doctor.
Boy.
So and this is heading into it. So you are going to see more and more and more and more and more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's not. It's scary. I mean, there's so many things that are going to change, and I just don't know if people really realize until it happens to them what's going on. But that's got to be a rude awakening to call your doctor to find out that he's not even in practice.
I had a message on a recorder saying, "Hey, you might want to look into this physician's group. You know that is no longer practicing."
And it's hard to find a family doctor. Somebody that
you've been going to for years.
Yeah, you know, my son wanted to go to the doctor that we've been dealing with for years. And when you're a new patient, you go to the back of the line, and it was 2 months before he could get in.
Absolutely.
And he got mad at me because I was sick one day, and I needed to get in there. And next day I was in. He goes, "How'd you do that?" And I said, "Well, I'm established with him. He knows me, and I've been going to him for years." I said, "You're a new patient. You know, he's probably busier than he knows what to do with, so you're not a priority. He's got enough to keep him
right.
busy."
Right.
So,
and you're considered a healthy visit. I mean, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, if you're just wanting to come in and become part of that practice, if you look at the average wait time on a visit to a doctor in Canada and Great Britain, you're looking at just that same scenario that your son is in, over 6 months. And sometimes it could be a year. So I mean, almost it's automatic that it's at least 6 months before you can get in on a visit like that or a checkup. So it's something that we do not have to look in the black magic ball that we all used to shake. decades ago to answer all of our questions in life. Something that that you don't have to do that. You don't have to participate. All you got to do is look at the places that, that already have this in play. And that's Great Britain. That's Canada. If you look at the survival rate in cancer in Great Britain, it's 25% lower. So one out of four people in Great Britain do not survive cancers that would in this country because of the health care, because of the delay in the health care that they get. I was talking to somebody the other day that's from Australia. He just moved back into this DeSoto area. It was at the polls. He works for a big company, and they had him stationed over in Australia for several years. And his father-in-law had skin cancer, and by the time of the many months, I forgot how many months he said it took him to go see the doctor, it had metastasized into his lymphatic system and everything else, and he's dying. And there's a classic case. I mean, Steve Farmer's wife's from Canada. She can tell you about their healthcare system.
Yeah.
The fact that Buffalo, New York, their pediatric care unit is swamped with babies from Canada. It's because they don't have the equipment to deal with some of the infant problems, some of the child problems in Canada, because again, this marvelous system that's in place. So it's a scary thought. Whenever you pile it all together, it's almost overwhelming if you let it be.
Yeah.
Whenever you look at the whole picture.
Well, it's, you know, we always think we can do something better than somebody else, even though it's never panned out in the past. And with the healthcare system, that's one thing. With the way the economy is being handled, that's another thing that's never worked in the past. It's in history of, you know, the results of doing what we're doing, and it's never good. But people just don't seem to understand that.
No, they don't. And I'm not sure, again, you know, the whole thing about history repeating itself. It certainly does. You're listening to the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network, our Missouri Grassroots Coalition, I should say, Radio Network. Richard Blowers is in studio with me tonight, Hillbilly Logic. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
They walk a while
Rich, that'll be a topic for another day, and that is, what is evil?
Oh, boy. That's a whole other can of worms.
I think we talked about some of it this evening. But yeah. But the bottom line is, you know, how do you define evil? How do you do a lot of these different things? It's a pretty good clip. It's something that people really need to think about foundationally, because, you know, I mean, have you ever pulled up to a stoplight, anything like that? Maybe the car next to you rolled back and you see it out of the corner of your eye, and you get disoriented a little bit, feel like you're rolling instead
yeah.
of
oh,
down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a classic example. What do we usually do? We look for something that's stationary. I mean, the first subconscious thing we do is look for a lamp pole or something like that to get the feeling that we're not moving.
Yeah.
To find out for sure.
Get your orientation.
Stationary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we know where we're at. Whether it's the sailors that were crossing the seas at night and they're looking at the stars for guidance because they know they're dependable, they know they're foundational. I mean, these are all things that we need to be more consistent at. But we're going to close things up this evening, Rich. I really appreciate you coming in. Hopefully, you know, you'll be a regular part of the show.
I always enjoy it, Kevin.
I always enjoy it. We're closer now than we've ever been to studio.
That's the best part.
That is the best part. I'm telling you, not to have an hour drive, but instead, you know, 20 minutes or so. I appreciate everybody for listening this evening. Tell your friends and family about Missouri Grassroots Coalition and also the Hillbilly Logic Show. We've got Dave on Monday evenings. It's a great show to catch. And Lisa Payne-Nager is on Wednesdays. So don't forget to catch the Culture Vigilante there. And we have a group discussion on Friday evenings. You never know who's going to join it. Sometimes some of us have prior commitments or can't make it for one reason or another, but it's a round table. So tune in tomorrow for the round table, and always feel free to call in and give us your input. Just for future reference, as we're closing out tonight, our phone number is 347-677-1835. If you're listening to the recording, write it down and join us next time. Rich, thanks for coming in.
Anytime, Kevin.
And you're listening to, or you've been listening to, the Hillbilly Logic Show on Missouri Grassroots Radio.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.